gospel today is talking about something that's pretty important. It's the end time. And I'm not exactly sure how all that will befall us. But for sure we know, each one of us knows, that we have an end time. That our time, none of us will live forever. All of us, no matter how healthy or young or vibrant or old or whatever we are, we will all face that moment when we will be called. And so this gospel of Luke tonight tells us to stay awake, to be ready, to live our lives with the quality and belief that this isn't all there is. And that ultimately and finally we are made, our hearts are made for that final encounter, that everlasting encounter with our God. So that first statement of the first week of Advent is pretty clear. Stay awake. Be prepared. Stand erect. Hold your head high. What prevents us from doing that? What do we need to remember those things that are most important in our life? Well, this Thursday I had the great opportunity to go out and play a round of golf. I'm telling you, if I don't get a round of golf at least some little time in a week, my head almost comes off because you people drive me nuts. I mean, this place is just fire. And it's every day. I love you, but it's tough. Tough sledding. So I was out there, and it was a wet day, and we couldn't use a cart. My age, I use a cart. But couldn't use a cart because you can't go on the grass. And so you get off the cart, you go off the ball, you go on it. So it's just as easy to get a caddy and roll along. So I was on the fourth hole going under this one of these great streets of Los Angeles in a tunnel. I was talking to Raul, who's 31 years at this club. And Raul said to me, "Monsignor, you know, you confirmed my son." I had been vicar for the region for 2.5 years and did a lot of confirmations around many of the parishes in the diocese in this region. And he said, "You know, I remember that day, and I remember that confirmation, and I'm very grateful to you." And I said, "Oh, geez, Raul, thank you so much." He said, "And you know, the person I really miss is Father," this person that he mentioned, a pastor. And he had died at a very young age, very tragically. And I said, "Oh, yeah, but you had a tremendous priest who replaced him. My God, he was terrific. And I'm sure that he just left this year, and I'm sure you really miss him." He says, "I don't miss him at all." So I said, "Oh, yeah, Raul? Why not? Why don't you miss him?" Folks, listen to me now. Listen to what he said. "Monsignor, I'm in search for a spiritual life. I'm looking for that. And I think he was probably a wonderful pastor, but he was always, always in a hurry." I said, "Whoa." Because I'm sure that's what most of you could say about your pastor. Always in a hurry. I think that's the truth. Especially in this time. These weeks are chock full. Whether you've got hundreds of friends in a large family or just living your lives, there is this force that creates for us, I think. It's about Christmas and about this great holiday, but it almost tears us away from the value and the gift and the grace and the blessing of it, because it's so much. And we can be in such a hurry with life, a hurry with people, a hurry about getting something solved or done. We don't find that rhythm and pace in our life that helps us to recognize the power and the gift and the grace of this very sacred time. I don't know about you, but for me, it's the best time of the year. If I can just contain some of the stuff that keeps me on such a rat race and pace. So, my brothers and sisters, I think the issue is, secondarily, that we not only try to, instead of doing 25 or 30 things that today, maybe shave it down to 22 things. That just gives us a little room inside our hearts, a little room inside our spirits, a little room inside our lives so that we can relish things instead of just going from thing to thing to thing and never think about it. We come out of something that was touching and wonderful and we're on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Such a superficiality about our lives. Not about your life, but about my life. It's dangerous because that's not what we're made for. It's not what we're made for. So I want to hold up somebody to you tonight who I think did it pretty good. And I hope it helps us. Her name is Dorothy Day. The New York Times had a very favorable article about Dorothy Day this week. It astounded me, but there it was. Cardinal Dolan, who's tagged as one of the great leaders of the Church of the United States, is holding her up for canonization. But let me tell you who she is. Not Doris Day now, Dorothy Day. Dorothy Day was the child of a reporter in Chicago who did a lot of work with the poor. So he wrote a lot of stories and told a lot of stories about the great issues of that city. She had no much life of faith as a child. She was Protestant and grew up in a family that didn't practice much of anything. Dorothy Day, at a very early age, had an abortion. Let me repeat that. Dorothy Day, at a very early age, had an abortion. Dorothy Day lived with a man prior to marriage, didn't marry the guy, and had a child and kept that child. Dorothy Day was busy about life, about reporting. She became what her father was, but not engaged. And somehow, she says, through the birth of this child, it became so apparent to her, she had to change. Because she was given this precious gift of life. And she needed somehow to live her life with a certain gift of authenticity so that her child would have a chance at life. And so Dorothy quit reporting and began to do. And she established across this nation, over her 83 or 84 years of life, the Catholic Worker. And so in every large city across this nation, today, way many years after her death, Dorothy Day's great influence continues in this world. This is what she said when one of the... Could you hold this for just a second? I'm going to give this to you. She said this one day, thank you, when they did a movie about her, Entertaining Angels. She said she was in a room holding a crucifix, struggling with this new life and trying to be faithful to what she felt God was calling her to do. She said to God, holding the crucifix, "These brothers and sisters of yours, the ones you want me to love, let me tell you something. They smell. They have lice. They have tuberculosis. And I'm to find you in them? Well, you're ugly. You stink. You wet your pants. You vomit. How could anyone love you?" But Dorothy Day did. She spent the entire rest of her life working, serving, embracing, advocating for those folks across this land. And when she died, Cardinal Cook was the celebrant. And there were all kinds of people from across this land at her funeral. And when they took her body out of the church for the final blessing, the story is that a very deranged and disheveled person ran through the crowd, shouting, putting his way through the crowd, and stood at the coffin and just looked at her like that. Stared. And her biographer says not one single person dared to push him away. Because Dorothy Day saw in that person the face of Jesus Christ. That was her life. I have no idea where you all are in your journey of faith, but I know I got a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. And so did she. But she didn't forget it. We forget it. We move on. She didn't forget it. She took that opportunity and she changed this world. And I don't know about you, but for me, I say good for this good old Roman church. That we could hold up this person. Now, she may not make sainthood because it takes some work. But at least, she's held up as a model. A model of a woman who saw her own struggle, had a deep embrace of everything the church taught. She did that. But she knew that that was not enough. Equally important was the embrace of the brother and the sister that she touched. Catholic worker, every day. If you're in need of a second chance, if you'd really like to have a great Advent, if you want a great Christmas, why don't you and I try to find some way to do that? Why don't we try to find in the most difficult the face of Jesus Christ? And for goodness sake, quit being in such a rush. Amen.